Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I just want to talk to you about, because time is so short on our program sometimes, I just want to talk about today, the son of encouragement. Barnabas, this particular man is so significant, and the connectivity of this man called Barnabas. I mean, his name is Joseph, but the apostles, they just called him Barnabas. They called him the son of encouragement. And everybody needs to have a Barnabas in their life. It's just like, right?
No doubt.
Has anybody seen Barnabas lately? You know, and
talk it to me.
Yeah, right, 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 right. And then you finally say, if it is a Barnabas, you got to first check. You don't want nothing, do you?
Right.
Oh, I thought you was a Barnabas.
Exactly.
It's on the back shelf. Anyway, the and so when you think about this guy, they start talking about him in Acts chapter 4. I mean, this guy was so such an encourager. People who misinterpreted him tried to do what he did to get what he got, but they didn't understand. He's just a natural person whose heart was one about encouraging folks. So I heard somebody tell me this. They said, he has the gift of encouragement. And I said, no, he's a liar.
Yeah.
He doesn't. And I didn't say he was a liar.
Right.
Anyways, encouraging, I mean, it's not flattery, right?
Flattery
is not encouragement.
No.
Encouragement is being truthful, honest, integrity, and that type of thing. That's not encouragement, just lying to folks. Like, you know, like, look, you're losing weight. Flattery.
Unless they really lost weight.
Yeah, well, yeah. John and I went to go see the parade in Washington, in New York City, you know, the Thanksgiving Day parade.
Yeah.
People started tying ropes to us. It's kind of float. That's not true. He won't float. Throw me in the water. I'll float. I will float. So Barnabas. I mean, this guy was so cool when you think about him. And the people who tried to imitate him, you know, was Ananias and Sapphira. They saw what he had did, because the first thing he did was he believed, he was given this gift of this willingness to be able to sacrifice. He had a willing heart wanting to sacrifice for God's leadership. He knew what God was going to do. And he sold a piece of his property. Get this.
Mm-hmm.
This is in the Bible, by the way. He sold a piece of his property. And he gave the money, the proceeds, or actually the money that he got from the particular property, and he gave it to the apostles who were running the church of that day. And because he just really believed in God's form of government, what God was doing in the church, and he knew that's where you would take it to, and they would determine what was going to go on with it. And of course, when that happens, people get start looking at and admire someone who does that. Well, somebody else wanted that admiration. They didn't want those behaviors, and so Ananias and Sapphira, when they saw that, they went and negotiated some property, sold it, cut it in half, told everybody they were given the whole thing, and they just died because they lied. And they found out that this is all about God. That was between Barnabas and God.
That's right. Yeah.
And it was the same thing between Ananias and Sapphira. It was between them and God.
Mm-hmm.
They thought it was between them and Peter. They thought Barnabas was giving that money to Peter.
Mm-hmm.
And they found out that he was actually giving it to God.
All right.
Don't get it twisted.
Yeah, and so then, therefore, you know, Barnabas was rewarded off of that. And since they lied to God, they died in front of God, right?
Yeah, Miriam had that problem, too. She thought she was just talking to Moses.
Yeah, it was a very effective church growth program. Anyway, so fear of the Lord spread, you know, and everybody listened up. A lot of land was probably sold. I don't know if we should sell it or not. They sold it. Anyway, so here he was. So that's very important. When you think about an encourager, first of all, if you don't honor God with the tithes and offerings, you're not anybody's encourager. You're not a godly encouragement in the context of that. So if you want to encourage your pastor, the apostle that's in your church, and give, be faithful to God. I mean, that's somebody that's going to really encourage, because they're trying to fulfill this mandate, this call that God is calling them to lead, and that is contingent upon the entire church doing what it's called to do and functioning. And he was a man of integrity. This guy, Barnabas, was such a man of integrity that he could be trusted. Think about this. He could be trusted in such a way that that he was sent to the very first place that they heard reports that Gentiles have become Christians,
mm-hmm.
you know, in Antioch. And that's pretty powerful. But prior to that, there was this particular guy that had been persecuting the church, and so he wasn't wanted by the Gentile Christians or mm-hmm. the Jewish mm-hmm. Christians, the believers. And so his name was Saul, and he was able to look at Saul. He had the ability to discern the truth about someone and understand they came with all this luggage, but he had the ability to look in their life and begin to pull that part of who they became out and let go, you know, forgetting what's behind, pressing on towards what's ahead. And this uh-huh. guy named Saul, he saw what other people didn't see, and they rejected him. And Barnabas didn't. Barnabas was so, had such integrity before the apostles that he was able to carry this man who used to kill the church, at least stand there and give permission while they were being killed and persecute them, this guy named Saul. And they took Barnabas at his word that this guy was okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about it. That's how powerful this Barnabas is. We need some people that when they speak, you know they mean what they mean.
That's right.
It's so weird to me. And it's always been weird. It's like, are you really not disturbed that what you said you didn't do?
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, shock. It
happens.
It happens
all the time.
And, you know, men of the cloth. That's Tarzan, right? Well, people in ministry. And so, and he had such integrity that they took his word that this man who tried to kill them and had them persecuted, who had such a passion to destroy the church and to get people to blaspheme against God so they could do away with these guys called Christians, part of the sect. Well, he became a Christian, but they took Barnabas' word for it. Mm-hmm. He is such a man of integrity that the apostles said, well, you know, Barnabas vouches for him. He's a man of integrity. Mm-hmm. We know we can trust him. He's a man, but look what he's done. I mean, he's laid his life down. He's sowed into what's happening, what God is doing. He's been encouragement to us, and we can take his word for it. So the apostles, the leaders of the first day church, allowed the former persecutor to move freely amongst the apostles and to preach in the name of Jesus
mm-hmm.
based on Barnabas' word.
Mm.
I mean, is there a man or a woman of integrity out there today? Just think how beautiful that is, that you do what you say. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's encouragement alone. That's just do what you say. I just did my job, right? What'd you do? I just did my job. And so he built this relationship with this man too, in the midst of all this, you know, and everybody needs to be an encourager. Everybody needs to be one, needs to have one, but a true one, not a flattering one. But when all of a sudden, when the first time Gentiles became Christians, the report came to where the leadership was, where the apostles were in Jerusalem, and who did they send?
Hmm.
They sent Barnabas. He's a man, you can trust his word. I mean, he's a man of integrity. He'll let us know what's going on. And who does he take with him? He takes Saul with him.
Mm-hmm.
And they allow, because of Barnabas, they let Saul go. And it was interesting, too, that Barnabas was not only the connectivity of Saul to the church and the apostles, but he was the connectivity of Saul, which became Paul, to the Gentiles. It was a son of encouragement. It was Barnabas that brought us this Paul who was called to the Gentiles. I mean, mm-hmm. think about how powerful that is.
Mm-hmm.
It took an encourager and somebody with integrity who was a man of their word, who was a giver to God and understood what God was doing, that could be trusted. You could put him anywhere and he's going to do what God said. That they sent him with Saul.
Yeah.
Because you had to have Barnabas there because they would think, you know, isn't this the guy? And it's in that moment when all this has taken place, because Barnabas was able to discern inside, this encourager was able to discern inside this man named Paul, who became Paul, that he was going to be a leader in God's church. He's going to be an apostle. And when I get back from this break, I want to tell you some pretty awesome things that happened at Antioch because of this encouragement. We're talking about the son of encouragement, Barnabas, and how important it is to be one. You know, a lot of people say, yeah, I want an encourager. Mm-hmm. It's like, if we want to be one, if we want one in our life, we need to be one, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
and you reap what you sow. If you sow encouragement, then you get encouragement back. But he tells us to encourage one another in the Lord. We're supposed to always encourage each other. But what I was talking about earlier, right before the break, was that all of a sudden these Gentiles have become Christians, and it's the first place that they were called Christians was in Antioch. And so they send Barnabas, this man of integrity, he goes there, he verifies it and says it's true. And the first thing he does is like, man, this is a great place for Saul to minister. I need to bring him here because they don't know any history. Mm. They don't know his history. Yeah, he has no. They have no luggage because they just became Christians. They were just Gentiles, so they weren't in this whole God argument prior to that, right? So he goes to Tarsus and he gets Saul and brings Saul in there for an entire year. They minister. Barnabas ministers with Saul. He knew to go get Saul. I mean, just think about how important these folks are. I mean, he's like Barnabas is like a divine connector.
Mm-hmm.
He's one that could be trusted. He's a conduit for God connecting things and people and resources and all that type of thing. And it's like, this is a currency can flow through a Barnabas, whatever it is. And he knew this is a place to connect Paul, you know, which is Saul, to connect him here at Antioch. It was beautiful. I mean, think about how important that was. And so he comes in there and they minister for a year. And Saul's ministering there. We'll just call him Paul from now on. That's who he became. Paul's ministering there only because a Barnabas saw inside of him what everybody rejected because of the other things they thought about him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was so Jewish, he was rejected by the Christians, and he was so Christians, he was rejected by the Jews. It's like he was stuck in between, you know?
Right.
But Barnabas was able to discern in him what God had done in him and brought it out of him. Let me tell you this. Sometimes your places, you're only there not because of your own integrity. You're there because of the integrity of others.
Mm.
And so many people miss that. And they start doing things they shouldn't be doing, not realizing you're not here because of your own integrity. You're here because of Barnabas.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay. If you understand that, then you can honor the Barnabas in your life and realize God's doing something through this person who's going to bring me to my destiny.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Right.
And so he went looking for the very one whose life now he had seen and discerned and watched the fruit in his life as he preached Jesus around in Jerusalem. Now he's bringing them to preach Jesus to the Christians at Antioch. And so here he is. He's there because of Barnabas.
Mm.
And these new believers are being blessed because of Barnabas. And Barnabas is blessed because of God. I mean, think how powerful this is.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And he can be trusted. They don't have to sit there and check on him and text him every 15 minutes. To find out what's happening at Antioch from Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they didn't text. No, they didn't have a text there. But, you know, you just trust. You trust a man of integrity. He's going to do or she's going to do, you know, what they said they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that, so all of a sudden, this is how powerful God sees it. They're there worshiping and praying and fasting and in Antioch. And all of a sudden, just the Lord is just overcome with the preparation of this man named Paul. Because of what? God did through Barnabas and what Barnabas allowed God to do through him. And just suddenly, I mean, the creator of the universe, suddenly, Jesus Christ himself suddenly just interrupts all this encouragement. And he says, I want you to set Barnabas and Paul aside for me.
Mm.
I'm going to send them somewhere.
Mm.
Set them aside. I got some things I want them to do. You know, and so many people want that moment in their life, but they reject every Barnabas around them. Or they go to Ananias and Sapphira for advice because they saw something happen and they wrote a book about what they saw instead of what they experienced. And that moment didn't just happen. It happened because of a man of integrity named Barnabas, who was an encourager, who all those things we talked about, that's who he was, that God could use him. And so all of a sudden now, Barnabas, God's calling Barnabas and Paul as he's sending them out to begin to reach the Gentiles. I mean, think how powerful it is. God, the creator of the universe, said, okay, now. And so they finished praying, they laid hands on them, they just sent them out. And the interesting thing is, there comes a point in time when you are raised up to a certain point in a place of encouragement that you can say, you know what? You got it from here.
Hmm.
Because Paul became an apostle. An apostle. Think about that. It became an apostle in the Lord and was able to reach the Gentiles with the gospel and wrote over 50% potentially, approximately, of the New Testament Bible.
Mm.
50% what they built Bible schools on. But what happened if there wasn't a Barnabas, if there wasn't an encourager, if there wasn't somebody to encourage them? So many people really want and need it. All they need, everything's, you know, Barnabas didn't put that in him. Barnabas saw what God put in him. But all Saul needed was somebody to see what was in him. But when he saw it, he knew he had to work with him a while, and he had to work with those that he knew who couldn't receive him just yet. And understand, if they'll all work together in the Holy Spirit, one day this guy's going to raise up and he's going to be an apostle, and he is going to be an apostle to the Gentiles, and he'll write 50% of a book called the New Testament that they'll build Bible schools on and use for the next 2,000 plus years to be able to bring people into personal relationship with Jesus Christ. One that's going to be taken up to third heaven, one that's going to speak before kings, and just awesome things going to take place. But it took that of a Barnabas. Some people say, well, you know, I don't do much, you know, what can I do? You can encourage someone. If you experience and see the fruit of God in someone's life, despite what other people are saying about them, because they may have experienced bad things from this person, but they don't know that this guy had a Road to Damascus experience, and he's in the process of being transformed by the presence of the Holy Spirit into something that God's going to use to write 50% of what they're going to build Bible schools on. But you see this in their life, and you go, you know, I just want to let you know, when you preached the other day, when you shared that talk with me, when we were in that coffee house the other day, you know, whatever, you know, I just was so encouraged. I grew more hungry for God. You know what I'm saying? That encounter. And all of a sudden they start realizing, because there's not a lot of those folks. There's a lot of folks that get blessed from people that God is using, but they don't tell them that they're blessed. They don't sow financially, for sure. Mm-hmm. If 97% of the church, according to George Barna, is not even doing, robbing from God. But understand this, that if you just obey God, and maybe you're going to be that conduit that connects. And there's a lot of folks that connect darkness to the church. I mean, there's people that you know, connect wrong things to the church. But I'm talking about those that have integrity, and that the leadership of the church knows this person's life. They know that they're trustworthy. They know what they're doing is within the context of what God says, and they could send them anywhere, and they're going to do the very same thing. So when they say this man can be trusted, then they're going to trust that man. I mean, oh, for the day of that kind of integrity again, right? It's like, whoa, my goodness. And so I'm just saying this. I'm just challenged by Barnabas' life here, is saying, you know what? You know, we can all be a Barnabas. What did he do? Barnabas stood in the gap, what would eventually be the salvation of the non-Jews, of the Gentiles, of which, until the full number comes in, the sudden shift of salvation of the Jews will take place. How relevant was that one moment when Barnabas says, you know, I got this man, I've been talking to him. I've been watching him, watching what he's preaching, what he's saying. And I'm aware of his history. I know what he did. It was pretty bad. You know, I went by Stephen's grave last week. You know, and I know there's some people, even as we speak, that are serving time based on what he'd done. Under false charges, because they were persecuting, trying to stop the church. But let me tell you something. He's a new man. He's not the same man that he used to be. You may know him as, you know, Legion up in the, you may know him, her, as the prostitute. You may know them as a drug user or addicted person or somebody who's had these, you know, multiple relationships. You may know them as whatever. But now God no longer calls them by that. God calls them a son. And if you speak into them as a son of encouragement, then they very well may be called an apostle, a pastor, a teacher, a business owner, a father, a mother. I mean, think about it. Dear Lord, we ask you for a release of sons of encouragement. And I pray that you would get a son of encouragement in your life, and that you would be one. Be one in your household. Be one to your parents. Be one to your spouse. Be one in your fellowship. Be one in your office complex with all those folks seeking someone to say something good. Let them know that God loves them. God's got a plan for their life. And when you see something positive, identify it and tell them, I caught you in the act of doing something good. Encourage someone today. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.